Well, if you're like me, you are looking forward to the return to some normalcy. People are saying it's never going to be the same, even when we can come back together. That might be true. That might be right. But right now, there are things that we definitely miss. We miss our children, our young people's sporting events, their ball games. We miss, and during this time of the year, graduations. Graduations are going to be put on hold. You know, you go to school with the idea that one day I'm going to graduate. That kind of keeps you motivated. It keeps you going. And then they tell you no graduation right now. I mean, that's disheartening. That's discouraging. Especially if you're the one who is graduating. We miss going to birthday parties and weddings. And even if we can go, we're told we have to socially distance ourselves. I mean, we're people that love to hug. I mean, we want to be close and up close and personal. But, you know, we're told, no, you got to keep your distance. Of course, we're sorry we cannot meet normally as a church body, as a church family. I'm grateful that we can live stream, but it's not the same. I mean, it's not the same. The church is meant to gather, and then we scatter throughout the week to take the glorious gospel message to a world that's dying, that desperately needs a Savior. But I miss coming together as a church family. You know, and there are many other things that we miss. Now, there's one thing I really will not miss, and that's when you travel having to wear a mask. Kay and I traveled to Mitchell's wedding, so we needed to wear masks. I'm going to look forward to the day we no longer have to wear a mask. And let me say one other thing. You know, I'm a papa, and my wife is a Mimi, and we miss real hugs. Julianne said, well, let me give you an air hug. And then she said no, and she's one of our grandchildren. I'm going to give you a real hug. You know, we are meant to hug. Honestly, if you're not a hugger, you need prayer. We are meant to hug, and especially to hug our grandchildren. And so I look forward to that day when we can all give normal hugs again. But again, our loss of what was normal just a couple of months ago causes us much frustration, weariness. As restrictions are extended, we say, well, Lord, how long are we to go through this? Someone was telling me that the governor of Illinois said that it will be a year before churches are back to normal. A year. Pray that that is not the case. But I mean, we're having to cancel plans, trips, summer vacations. There's a huge question mark about what we're going to do about vacation Bible school. Pray for Pastor Beck that he knows when and how we should conduct our Bible school this year. When we should go to camp. I mean, there are just so many things that have been turned on their head. And we can get very down and discouraged. In fact, we can become fear-filled and frustrated. We like our freedoms. We like to be able to go where we want to go, when we want to go, to do what we want to do. And we're having people tell us, authorities tell us, no, you can't do that. Which tells me what we need right now is something only God can give to us. And that's His peace. How can that peace be ours that protects and nurtures our hearts all the time? All the time, especially now. Well, the portion of scripture that we read from Paul's words in Philippians 4 gives us three ways the peace of God is activated in our hearts. And those three ways are by praying right, which we see in verses 6 and 7, by thinking right, which we see in verse 8, And then by doing right, which we see in verse 9. And again, don't we need, I raise my hand, don't we need this peace of God? I can't think of a more needful time than right now to experience God's peace. Again, there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of anger. I mean, people are, especially in states where there's still this lockdown, people are angry. And I think there's a lot of fear. A lot of fear. But before we get into our message, let me just briefly say that we're going to look at praying right and thinking right in a more brief way, with our focus more this morning on doing what is right. Well, regarding our first point, which is praying right, Paul begins in Philippians 4, verse 6, by admonishing us, be careful for nothing. In other words, we are to stop being anxious. We are to quit the habit of worrying, and instead of, rather than being troubled and bothered and perturbed and vexed and distressed, we are to pray. You know, I think too often, and I've said it before, our motto is, why pray when we can worry? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that is awful thinking. That's an awful way to face each day. We are to stop worrying because we can pray. We can pray. We can stop being anxious. And Paul is telling us we are to quit the habit of worrying instead of, rather than going down that path, we can take everything that disturbs our hearts, everything that is possessing our hearts, to God in prayer. Everything. We are to pray about everything. We are to define and detail everything that is occupying our hearts during the day to God in prayer. That tells me we are to be always in an attitude of prayer. I mean, really, every moment of the day. And those moments can be disturbing moments. We are privileged to take that moment of our day to God in prayer. Remember, a peaceless heart and a grateful heart are mutually opposed. And so as we cast our care upon God, we are assured that God is there to care for us. Peter promises us that in God's word. And his watchfulness is accompanied by his peace. For Paul tells us in verse 7, and the peace of God. Now, all Christians have peace with God, but that doesn't mean we all have the peace of God. That inner rest of soul that is grounded in God's presence, God's promise, and God's power. The peace with God is dependent on saving faith, while the peace of God is dependent on prayer. Friends, if you're not praying, you don't have the peace of God. Peace with God describes the union between God and the Christian, while the peace of God describes the communion between God and the Christian. And again, when our hearts are prayerfully taking everything to God in prayer, especially during those moments of doubt and fear, especially when we have so many questions in our minds, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, which surpasses all human power and reason or comprehension, keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keeps our hearts and minds through our Lord. This peace of God, which is safely and continually at work, stands guard as a watchman over our hearts. And the result, the peace of God rules our hearts. And so God's peace comes to the heart that is praying well. You know, I love that hymn. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let me ask you, during the day, are you praying? Are you taking your fears? Are you taking your frustrations? Are you taking your anger to God in prayer? God will replace those fears, those frustrations, those moments of anger with His peace. What a wonderful God we have. And then way number two to God's peace. This peace of God comes to the heart that is thinking right. And this righteous thinking is described in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever. And this word then introduces six adjectives that characterize, that express thinking that is God-pleasing. This describes thinking that is peace-filled thinking. And so if you can't see your thinking described here, you don't have peace-filled thinking. Well, adjective number one is whatsoever things are true. And what does true mean? It means truth is an objective, factual reality. And don't we all need a strong commitment to reality outside of our own feelings and opinions? You know, there's a lot of political noise out there. And not everything politicians say is the truth. And so we need to pray, Lord, help me to find reality in your word. Whatsoever things are true, God-pleasing, Christ-honoring, Spirit-controlling. And then the second adjective is honest. And honest is that which is honorable. We are to think things that are honorable. This word carries the idea that something has weight or gravity. To think on honorable things is to think on that which has inherent value, weight, significance, that which deserves our respect, our attention. And then adjective number three is just. And this is the rightness of something with God's nature as the standard of what is right. Our standard of right and wrong is determined by God, and that's described for us in His Word. And then adjective number four is pure. And this means something whole, untainted. Metal is considered pure when it is uncontaminated. Pure thinking is uncontaminated thinking. It's not contaminated with impurity, with sin. If you allow sin in your heart and mind, I can promise you, you're not going to have peace in your heart. And then lovely, we are to seek and to think about things that are worth being loved. So when we think on whatever is lovely, we are drawn to the one who is altogether lovely. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as we promise, perfect peace and rest. And what are our thoughts then stayed upon? Jehovah. Jehovah. And then adjective number six is of good report, which refers to speech that is thoughtful, appropriate, considerate, words that are carefully thought out. And so we spend our time thinking and speaking about good, worthy, glorious things, not just sharing trivialities. I mean, you listen to so much of what we say to one another. Is there substance to it? Do we speak of good things? Do we give good reports? And Paul continues, if there be any virtue, any mental, moral, physical, and excellence, If there be any praise, anything that is deemed praiseworthy, we are to think on these things. We are to carefully meditate on them, reflect on them, not casually or superficially, but constantly, logically. And how needful and important such thinking is, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Friends, please understand, please realize, holy thinking is so very important. Holy thinking produces holy living. And so when our minds dwell on what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, what is fit and pleasing thinking before God, the consequence, the blessing, will be peace in the soul. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because righteousness and peace always go together. The righteous are the ones who sow peace. You think about it. When your heart is filled with thoughts that are not true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, they're raunchy, evil, wicked thoughts. Maybe thoughts that you're thinking about others that are not appropriate. You don't have peace in your heart. I can speak from experience. But when our hearts, when our thinking is God-pleasing, it's amazing how that peace fills our souls. I mean, it really is true. If you want to get through these days, these COVID-19 days with peace, pray, Lord, I think thoughts that are pleasing to you. Solomon rightly says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, out of it flow the springs of life. Out of it flows life for us. Again, it matters that we pray about everything, that we pray aright, your will, Lord, be done. And then it matters that we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, that we think right. For such hearts and minds then experience the uncommon, the unmeasurable, the unconquerable peace of God. And I say, what a gift of divine love. And what a gift a peace-possessing believer is to others. If your heart is filled with anxious, worrisome thoughts, you're going to have a negative effect on those around you. But when your heart is stayed on Jehovah, when your heart is thinking thoughts that are Christ-pleasing, you bring your peace, the peace that's flooding your soul into the very air, into the very room, into the very environment where you are. What a gift of love to others. Amen. To your family, to your mother today. What a gift of love to her. And what a witness of God's grace to this peaceless world. When everyone else is losing their minds and you aren't, what a testimony, what a bright light. Your life is shining to others. What a witness of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so my question to you is, are you praying aright? I mean, how much do you pray during the day? If you pray in the morning and then you say, well, Lord, I'll catch you before I go to bed, I can promise you, you'll have a peaceless day. But when you bring everything to God in prayer, what peace then fills your heart? And then are you thinking aright? Are you thinking thoughts that are truly pleasing to God? Pleasing to God thoughts bring to pass a heart filled with his peace. Well, we come now to our third way. The peace of God comes alive in our hearts, to guard our hearts, and that is by doing right. It has been said noble thoughts are of little value unless they are translated into deeds. Living surpasses learning. Practice outshines preaching. That's why we are told to practice what you what? Preach. Which all means those who are doers of the word and not hearers only are granted, as we see in our text, God's peace. God's peace. And so again, Paul declares, verse 9, those things which you have learned, meaning that which you have been taught, the instruction I have been giving you, how you have been discipled, how you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, love, perseverance. Those things which you have received, meaning those things that I have revealed to you. The Greek word used here is a technical term for God's revelation. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. I think I can ask right now, friends, do you believe what you're hearing from God's word? Do you believe what you are receiving from God's word, what you are learning from God's word? If the word of God comes alive, it becomes effectual when you believe it. And then you practice it. And then Paul continues, those things which ye have heard, meaning what ye have gleaned, heard about me from others concerning my character, lifestyle, preaching. And then the apostle concludes with those things that ye have seen in me, what you have experienced firsthand by being with me, what you have seen as my pattern of living. I want you, Paul says, to do. What you've learned from me, received from me, heard from me, seen me do, personally do, you do too. You do too. Now the word for do in the Greek simply means practice. And this word refers to repetition or continuous action. And so like doctors and lawyers and dentists who have what is called a practice, because their professions maintain a certain routine, the same continuous action, we as Christians are to make it our practice, our routine, our daily pattern, our life's mission to lead godly, obedient lives. In other words, we are to live right. We are to do right. That is the bottom line. Now, again, we need to understand holy living can only take place when right attitudes, right thoughts control our flesh. And that is why Paul confronted the priority of what we think in verse 8 before exhorting us to righteous behavior in verse 9. What Paul is saying is, right thinking precedes right living. Again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. One author writes, understanding and embracing God's law comes first, followed by the conduct habitually controlled by that devotion to the truth. And in so doing, Paul tells us we overcome evil with good. Wow. Our lives are overcoming evil with good. And then the promised result, that which follows obedience. Paul says in verse 9, it's right there, the God of peace shall be with you. And here is a favorite a title of Paul's, the God of peace. The God whose character is peace gives us his peace. And in experiencing this peace, we live out not merely the absence of trouble, but God's very best, his highest good. We don't just get through the day. We get through it with victory. We fly, we run, and are not weary. We walk, and we're not fainting. We're like the eagles, we soar. As I said last week, we don't just survive, we thrive. Don't let these days go by when you just say, well, Lord, I'm glad I survived the day. He wants us to thrive today. And with his peaceful, powerful presence comes divine strength, which is ours. Number one, through life's trials. Christ assures us, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And his strengthening peace is experienced as well through life's maturing processes. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 states, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's powerful peace can be further seen through life's victories. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise or crush Satan under your feet shortly. And finally, God's highest good is peace can be seen in life's relationships. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, God wants us to have peace between ourselves. Friends, the God of peace makes life what it was meant to be. He enables us to enter into righteous fellowship with both God and fellow men. And thus we exercise ourselves always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And therefore, with as much as lies within us, we do all that we can to live peaceably with all men. We swallow our pride. You know what gets in the way of having right relationships with others so often is our pride. We are going to have my way. I know I have that problem. It's going to be my way or the highway. Friends, that doesn't work. It never works. I know that it's my desire that I live peaceably. As much as I can make happen by God's grace with all men. I pray that your heart as well. And so thus I declare what sufficiency we have in having our communion with this God of peace who gives us his peace. And with his peaceful presence comes strength, tranquility, and the necessary contentment for spiritually stable and a prosperous life. What a gift of God's grace. What a gift of God's favor. Peace to those who pray right. Peace to those who think right. Peace to those who do right. And maybe you kind of picked up on the progression here. I mean, there really is a reason why prayer precedes thinking and thinking precedes doing. It begins with us praying right. And when we pray right, then God gives us the ability, the power to think right. And when we're thinking right, then we live right. Isn't that a beautiful way to look at it? So that means your day needs to be filled with prayer. Folks, if you're not praying, you're not doing right because you're not thinking right. But when your day is filled with that constant communion with the living God, He really does control how you think. And when he's controlling how you think, you'll do what is pleasing in his sight. Amen? Amen. Someone has wisely and rightly said, God gave us his son to give us his peace. Which reminds me, and with this I'll close, the secret of praying, thinking, and doing right is abiding in Christ. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. If we do not continually seek after him, the world system, like a magnet, will pull us into its self-centered, crude, frivolous, frustrating, fear-filled, and evil orbit, where there is no peace. Remember, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But in setting our affections on things above and not on things of this earth, we prayerfully set our minds on Christ, and like a heavenly magnet, he draws us upward above the soiled, defiling corruption of this world, where he can be enthroned in the very sanctuary of our minds, where pure and blessed thoughts, which then breed right deeds, become the very atmosphere in which we live and breathe and move. And so let's pray about everything. And then let's think true and praiseworthy thoughts. And let's do then what is right. And the God of peace will give us his peace even while we wait for return to some normalcy. Again, peace, Christ says, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I conclude with, and now the God of peace himself give you peace always. Especially, I want our mothers to experience this peace. You know, mothers can have a tough time. By all means, the Lord be with you all.